Hebrews chapter 5. I ran out of some books on that table last night. There's pornography books. There's some more back there now. If you went back and wanted one and didn't find it, there's some more on the table. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus now, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for these ladies singing these songs just now. And God, reminding us, God, of what it's all about. We look forward to that day we can see our Savior. And God, today will be just fine if it's in your plan to just take us out of here before lunch. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the salvation. Pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts a few minutes now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I said the other day, I'm not a glory preacher. I never have been. A couple of years ago at camp, kids were giving testimonies about when they got saved and all that. Brother Mark, you may remember this, and four or five of them said, Brother Tam was preaching on hell and I got saved. And I had to say, guys, quit telling that. Everybody think all I ever preach on is hell. Amen. I want to try to preach on Jesus a little bit. In John chapter 11, the Lord is at the grave of Lazarus. Verses 41 and 42, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Lord came to the tomb of Lazarus, and he calls him forth from the grave. Of course, Lazarus came forth, and in that prayer, I want you to see a relationship the Son of God had with his Father. He said, I knew that thou hearest me always. He was saying there's never been a prayer that he uttered that the Father didn't respond to it and hear it and answer it and so forth. There had been an unbroken communion between the Father and the Son for all eternity. But there came a time in the Lord's earthly ministry when that communion was broken. And when the Father refused to hear his prayer. Psalm 22 verse 2. Jesus speaking, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. That prayer got uttered from the cross when the Lord was crucified, and a careful comparison of the time element that's given to us by the Holy Spirit about the crucifixion points out some things to us. Mark 15:25, it was the third hour, and they crucified him. That's 9 o'clock in the morning when that took place. And at the sixth hour, noontime, the Bible says the sun was darkened. And by the way, it was not an eclipse, as the RSV tells you, because the Passover always took place at the full moon. So there could have been no eclipse. It was a miracle from God. And God the Father veiled the scene where the transaction was taking place between him and his Son over this business of sin and dealing with sin. So God put a darkness about it completely. Matthew 27, verse 45, from the sixth hour, noontime, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. In that darkness, three men spoke out. One of them blasphemed God. One of them cursed and murmured and complained. Another one cried out for mercy. And then in a few minutes, we're going to see what that third man had to say in the midst of all that total darkness. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, one of the things the Lord said from the cross, it says about the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as the darkness was beginning to lift, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at Psalm 22, that's where that comes from, that's where it was prophesied, Psalm 22. Got a lot of scripture here. We'll look at some of it for the sake of time. I'll just read some to you. Psalm 22, verse 1. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Of course, that daytime and nighttime matches the day of the crucifixion, the light in the morning, then utter darkness from noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, why did God turn a deaf ear to His Son? Why did He not listen to Him when He was begging there on Calvary, begging for mercy? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It was because Jesus Christ at that point in time had been made to be sin incarnate. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Thou hast made Him to be sin who knew no sin. And the Bible says in the back of chapter 1, God is of pure eyes and behold iniquity. He cannot look on sin. So He had to turn His back from His Son because He took all the sins from Adam in Genesis 3 to the last man that ever walked the face of this earth and put all those sins on His Son. His Son became sin. And He couldn't look at it. He had to turn away from it. And the answer is given right here in this passage. He said in verse 1, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 2, I cry and thou hearest not. Why not? Verse 3, but thou art holy. God is holy.
Amen.
He cannot condone sin. And so He had to turn away from it. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. It's not that God can't hear. He's not going. Hey, the first prayer God's going to hear from any sinner is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not listening to anything else because the person's whole life is nothing but sin. Look over at Matthew chapter 26. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice that's past tense. When he prayed that, God had always heard him before, but now he's not listening. And it is past tense because actually it began in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm talking this morning about the agony of Christ in Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus unto them unto a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith he unto them, my soul. I was talking to somebody yesterday about the Lord's soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Lord's sufferings in Gethsemane were not physical. His physical sufferings came a few hours later in Gethsemane. He says, my soul, that's inside, that's the inner being. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Look over at Mark chapter 14. We compare the accounts of this. We pick up different little details about it. Mark chapter 14. Some additional information about this great sorrow in the Lord's life. Mark 14 verse 34. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Soul death, verse 34, is separation from God. It's the second death, Revelation 20, verse 14. It is hell. That's what it is. And Jesus, brother Charlie mentioned this the other day when he was preaching. He said, some people don't believe whether Jesus went to hell or not. Three times that Bible says he did. And I'm going to take God's word over anybody else's. Thou wilt not suffer, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. So well, that was paradise. It didn't say paradise, it said hell. And you can't leave something somewhere unless it was there. Three times it says he went to hell. For what? For us. For us, amen. Psalm 22 verse 6, he said, I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Men in hell are called worms in Mark 9, verse 44, where their worm dies not. Look over at Luke chapter 22. Hurry with me now. I have but a few minutes here. Luke chapter 22. He prayed that hour might pass from him. Luke 22, verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, this is in Gethsemane, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He wasn't at the cross yet. He wasn't in the trial yet with Caiaphas and all those guys. None of that going on. He's praying, God, deliver me from this cup. Deliver me from this hour. Deliver me from this agony. And his sweat is falling to the ground as great drops of blood. His experience in Gethsemane is called agony. What was the agony? What was the hour? What was the cup he's asking to be removed? It was not the sufferings of the cross. He willingly, he voluntarily went to the cross and physically went through what was necessary there. John 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, and I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He was not fearing the cross. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. I'm not saying he enjoyed the cross, but I am saying he didn't fear it, and he endured it because of the joy that was going to be on the other side of it. And what is that? That's bringing many sons to glory. The hour, the cup, the agony that he prayed about to be delivered from was not the physical sufferings of the cross. If you examine the prophecy of his sufferings in Isaiah, you find that his sufferings were both inward as well as outward. Physical sufferings, Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 50 verse 6, I gave, Jesus speaking, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That was the physical things he went through. John 18 verse 22, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with a palm of his hand. I mean, he slapped his face. Matthew 26, 67, they did spit in his face. They buffeted him. Others smote him with the palms of their hands. Mark 14, 65, some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and the servants to strike him with the palms of their hands. Luke 22, 63 and 64, the men that held Jesus, they're holding him there while people are beating on him, mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. So much so that Isaiah says his visage marred more than any man. I mean, beaten to a pulp, his face swelled up, his eyes blackened, blood everywhere. Look at Luke chapter 22. By the way, keep in mind, he didn't have to go through that. He didn't have to put up with that. In fact, when Peter tried to rescue him, he said, put your sword up, Pete, you don't even know what this is all about. He said, I can presently call to my Father, and he'll send 12 legions of angels. You ever thought about that? One angel in one night killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers. 12 legions is 72,000. If God sent 72,000 angels against this planet, they'd pulverize it. Not only was there physical sufferings, but going on behind the scenes that no human eye could see was some spiritual suffering. Luke 22, verse 52. A battle going on. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Just before his arrest in the garden, just before the soldiers showed up, the Lord told the disciples in John 14:30, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Fixing to meet the devil. Amen. This was the hour that the prince of this world would unleash all the power of darkness against his rival to the throne that had been promised to Jesus in Luke 1 verses 32 and 33. There's more going on in Caiaphas' judgment hall than a bunch of Pharisees yelling and condemning an innocent man. A whole lot more was going on at that trial that nobody else saw. No human eyes saw the soul of the sinless Son of God as he squared off against the wicked one. And dared him to come any closer. So did you conjure that up? No, I got it out of that book. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Stay with me, I'll show you a couple things. Don't know much, but what I know, I try to get out of this book. I'm telling you, a battle was going on that they didn't see. Isaiah 50 verse 7. Now watch this. For the Lord God will help me. That's Jesus speaking. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. That's Luke 9:51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. So I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. That's God the Father he's talking about. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God's elect is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 6. It says he is. So when we're elect, you're only elect if you're in him.
Amen.
Let's read on. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? The devil will. Let us, my contender and me, stand together. That's a challenge. Let me give you an example of that. 2 Kings 14 verse 8. Then Amaziah, king of Israel, sent messengers to Jehoash, king of Israel, said, come, let us look one another in the face. That's a challenge to fight. I said, come on, big boy, let's check this out. That's what's going on in Caiaphas' judgment hall. Let's read on. He's near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Jesus speaking. His adversary is Jesus. Let him come near to me. The prince of this world cometh. Let him come on. He did. You know what the context of what you just read? It's the Lord's trial. Look at verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He challenged the devil over the throne of the kingdom. I mean, the fiercest spiritual battle of all eternity was in progress in Caiaphas' judgment hall that day. The God of this world, the prince of darkness, the power of darkness, the usurper to the crown of the kingdom of heaven was being challenged for the throne by the rightful heir of that throne, the very throne that Satan had offered Jesus 3.5 years before in Luke chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. The kingdom that Satan took from Adam when Adam sinned and turned against God and forsook it through sin, and now God says, I want it back. Amen.
Yeah.
Satan had said to the Lord concerning the kingdoms, he said in Luke 4, 6, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, and that is delivered unto me, the devil said, and to whosoever I will, I give it. The Lord said, yeah, you've had it a long time, but I'm fixing to take it back. Amen. So Jesus challenged the most powerful being in existence outside the Godhead, the one who had never lost a battle. Do you understand that? The devil had never lost a battle. He took down Adam. He took down Abraham. He took down Moses. He took down Joshua. He took down Elijah. Nobody ever stood up to him. None of us ever have either. And now he's been challenged. He's being challenged by somebody who's half dead from the beatings he's taken, sitting in front of him blindfolded with spit and blood running down his face, and this one sitting there is challenging him. Look at Isaiah 53. And by the way, while that challenge is going on, Colossians 2:15, 1 Peter 1:12, all of heaven and all of hell were looking on to see what the outcome of this battle was going to be. Who's going to win? Worse than all the physical sufferings the Lord had to go through. We can relate to that. We've never done that. But listen, those two thieves crucified with him? I'm sorry, the little paintings are wrong. They got nailed up too. That was the Roman method of execution. They weren't tied there in Jesus' nail. They were all nailed to it. A lot of people have gone through physical suffering. People burned at the stakes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not degrading any of the physical suffering. Thank God he went through it for me so I wouldn't have to. I'm not downgrading that at all. But I'm telling you, his spiritual suffering far outweighed that. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Remember he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Not my body, my soul, even unto death. You know what soul death is? It's hell. It separates from God. Isaiah 53. Remember what he said? His soul was in an agony, the suffering of the soul. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Drop down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You got that? God the Father was pleased to bruise His Son. Is that what it says? He, the Father, hath put Him, the Son, to grief. When thou, the Father, shalt make His soul, the soul of His Son, an offering for sin. You know what that is? It's a burnt offering. That's a burnt sacrifice. That's Genesis 22. Abraham, I want you to offer your son up for a burnt offering unto me. A picture of Jesus Christ paying our hell for us. Make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord, the Father, there shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. His soul was in travail. That's what we're told here. It was made an offering for sin. Not his sin. My sin and your sin. Not his. And these are inward sufferings. Sufferings of the soul, not of the body. An inward struggle going on, starting at Gethsemane when his sweat was at great drops of blood. And we can understand some of the physical things going on there. We cannot fathom what was going on in the soul of God, the soul of Christ, and the agony he was facing for us. We'll never understand it. The Bible says he's going to reveal himself to us world without end. You'll never know everything there is about him. All that struggle is shown in his relationship to his disciples in Gethsemane. Luke 22:41 says he was withdrawn from them by the stones cast. He went forward, fell on the ground, and prayed if it possible, this hour might pass from him. In Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39, he told the disciples, sit here, took Peter, James, and John with him to pray. And in a few minutes, he told them to stay where they were. He said, tarry ye here, watch me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. He's by himself, okay? Prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The disciples could not participate in his soul agony. And we can't either. We can't even understand it. We can't even imagine what the Lord went through for us. I'll emphasize again, he's not praying about the physical things of the cross. Not what he's praying about. He had an unbroken, eternal communion with his Father, but now he's got to suffer the agony of being cut off from God. Separated from God. Something that had never happened for all eternity. And so the Lord went through what every sinner is going to go through. And that is eternal separation from God. Not only physical flames in hell, but that internal torment of never being able to see their Creator. Never been. Hey, the reason the rich man prayed to Abraham in hell, he called him to Abraham because God could not hear him. God would not hear him. He could not pray to God. Nobody in hell has access to God. And that's going to burn in their soul forever.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was praying about. Not getting killed physically, but separated from His Father because of us. You know, it said there in Luke 22, I read a while ago, it said there appeared an angel unto him, strengthening him. The next verse tells you that angel didn't give much comfort. Because it says in the next verse, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. The guilt of our sins weighing on the Lord, starting at Gethsemane, going on to the cross, is what caused His Father to turn His back on His Son. It wasn't His fault. It was our fault. It wasn't His sins. It was our sins that caused His Father to forsake Him. The same thing is going to cause God to forsake every sinner who will not turn to the Lord Jesus. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I imagine that cry goes on in hell quite a bit. Isaiah 53 verse 12 again, He said, I divide him a portion with the great. He said, because he had poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. The Lord in an agony, starting in Gethsemane, going on to the cross because His Father turned His back on Him, the communion broken and so forth, and it's all because of our sins. But thank God it was over eventually. And the Father opened His ear again when Jesus said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And bowed His head and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. Jesus literally took the place of the sinner in hell, separated from God, and suffered all those agonies and all those torments and so forth that's going to come on every lost person that's ever walked this planet and not received the Lord as Savior. In an agony, it says, the agony of the Lord there in Gethsemane. The songwriter put it like this, friend of the friendless, betrayed and denied, help of the weak in Gethsemane cried. Light of the world in gross darkness He died. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Now let me close with this thought. Because He was forsaken of God, I never will be. Because God couldn't say to His Son, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, because He did do that. Jesus can say to me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me close. Let me give me a couple of minutes. Let me tell you something about this cup He kept praying about. There's two cups in the Bible. One belongs to the Son and one belongs to the Father. And the cup He didn't want was the cup of the Father's wrath, God's wrath to be poured out on sinners. Psalm 75 verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, talking about God the Father there. It is full of mixture, and He poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. That's the cup that Jesus did not want to experience, but He got poured on Him on Calvary, made to be sin for us. The other cup was the cup of the Son, and it's the cup of physical death. And Peter and John said, they came to the Lord with their questions, and He said, can you be baptized with the baptism? I'll be baptized with you. Somebody's physical death. And He said, and you shall be. They experienced the cup of Jesus, and you will too, barring the rapture. But thank God, if you're saved, you'll never experience the cup of God's wrath. The one Jesus experienced for us. Never have to face it. That cup of God the Father is poured out on everybody. It's against Israel. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. It's also for the Gentiles. Psalm 75:8. In the hand of the Lord there's a cup The wine is red, full of mixture. He poureth out the same, and all the wicked in the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Jeremiah 25:15, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, unto Jeremiah, take the wine cup of his fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Jew and Gentile, that's everybody. That cup's getting poured out on everybody who's not in Jesus. Why is it not poured on those who are in Jesus? Because it got poured out on Jesus. And it won't get poured out on us. Thank God for what Jesus went through. That he did not want to go through. But he did it for us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.